understand the darkness where you are letting your light shine. And then on Monday night, we talked about what does different look like. And we looked at examples in scriptures of people that were different, and we began to make some application what it means to be different. Last night, we pointed out that as Christians, as we are letting our light shine, we need to let that light shine in every area of our life, beginning with our homes and where when we are at work and when we are within our community. And even as we take care of ourselves, we give consideration to that. And of course, there's the church. How important is the church to us? And that brings me to what I want to deal with in our lesson this evening, and that is I want to talk about being an example online. And then tomorrow night we're going to talk about three things that are associated with how I can let my light shine, some things to think about. And Friday night is why do we let our light shine? And so that will bring our study to a conclusion. But this evening, as I said, we're going to be talking about online activity. And of course, obviously, this is a lesson that probably 10 years ago wouldn't have been preached because it is something that is relatively new. You know, to the younger generation, online activity is something that has been a part of their whole lives. But to those of us who are a little bit older, you know, we can go back and we can remember the time prior to the internet. We can remember when our televisions only had four channels. And when if the picture wasn't clear, you had to go outside and you had to adjust the antenna. You know, we can remember when we only had telephones in our homes. You know, we can remember where we got our news by actually having a newspaper delivered to our home every day, or maybe a news magazine. And so on. I remember photography. You know, I like taking pictures, and I have a digital camera. Love it, because I can take 100 bad pictures, and get rid of every one of them, and I haven't lost any money. That wasn't true when I was growing up. You know, you'd pay for 24, and you'd go get them developed at the photo mart on the corner or wherever. That's what it was like when I was growing up, and some of you are saying, ah, you're a kid. So, you know, I understand that because we could go back well beyond that. But we're living in the internet age. We're living in an age where we have online activity around us everywhere, and we need to understand as Christians that we are to let our light shine everywhere. And that includes in our online activity. And in particular, I'm going to be emphasizing tonight social media. I've mentioned that as we've gone through the week, but we could say a whole lot more. Last night, we addressed being an example in various areas of our life. We talked about all these things, our homes, workplace, neighborhood, personal care, and local church. And then there is the internet, the Christian and social media. And that's what we want to talk about this evening. Now, we live in this electronic age where much of what is done is without, much of our communication is done without physical interaction. And there's some amazing things as a result of that. The way that you're able to communicate with somebody across the globe, the way companies are able to take care of business across the globe effortlessly do that. That's a wonderful thing to give consideration to. And when I think about things like that, I think about what a blessing the internet is. But you know, also in our own personal lives, we know that we engage in social media. And the idea of social media is that means that we're communicating with other people online. That's the simple definition of what we're talking about when we say social media. And I want to begin this lesson but with a few statistics just so that we understand how prevalent social media actually is today. And this is taken from a 2001 article from a website that's called backlinko.com. I think it's in the outline, in a footnote. And they basically accumulated a number of different sources, fairly recent. And here's some of the observations about social media, people interacting with others online. 56.8% of the world's population uses social media. Almost 60%. Now, you could actually narrow that down because you do realize that there's a lot of parts of the world that don't have internet. If you narrow it down to the part of the world where you have eligible audiences, the number is somewhere around 93% of people. In the United States, there are 230 million social media users. That's almost 75%. Almost three quarters of Americans use social media. And concerning that social media, it is said that the average time that is spent on social media on a daily basis in the world is about 2 hours and 24 minutes. In the United States, just under that, a little over 2 hours. And 7 minutes is the average day that people spend online chatting with one another or whatever. Facebook is still the number one, site that people are on social media with some 2.9 billion global users. You know, that's what, about 40% of the world's population is on Facebook. Number two, YouTube. Number two, with 2.3 billion. And you could go on after that. But that's how many people we have here. Now, I want you to also consider that in the last 2 years, thanks to COVID-19, this is good and bad. You know, thanks to COVID-19, the internet and social media numbers have substantially increased. You know, when I preached this sermon in 2019 at home, obviously these statistics weren't available. But they were a little lower than that then, but a lot's happened because of COVID-19. People have needed social media to be able to do their work when they were at home, and they weren't able to come together. And so it's been a benefit, and some out of necessity have increased their usage of social media in their workplaces, organizations, and sometimes in churches. And there's some good that has come out about that. And why am I doing this statistics? This is a Bible study. It's because I want you to understand, whether we like it or not, social media is here. Social media is here to stay. The internet is here. It's not going anywhere in the near future. And so because of that, we need to address, how do we conduct ourselves online? Tell you right now, that's just as important as how you conduct yourself in every other area of your life. And so let's talk a little bit about that. One thing I want to remind you about social media is it's still communication. You're communicating. The same way that I'm communicating with you right now, talking to you, thankfully we're a live audience. But the fact that I'm talking to you right now, that's communication. So is social media. And that means that we still need to let our light shine, even when we are online. And when you've got all those passages of Scripture that talk about the way we conduct ourselves around others, it applies online as well. And Colossians chapter 4, and in verse number 6, where Paul there says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone." We need to consider that even when we're online. You may replace speech with the typing of your fingers, but it's the same thing. You're still communicating. You're still communicating in many ways. In 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, Peter there talks about our speech being honorable. And he says, "Or I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Your conduct needs to be honorable, whether you're face-to-face with somebody or you're online. Conduct honorable so that they have no cause to accuse you. That verse applies online as much as it does directly or face-to-face. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 talks about only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now we're getting a little more specific with us. We need to know what the gospel says, and we need to be living the gospel. And friends, we need to be living the gospel when we're surfing the internet. Maybe more so, you know, considering everything that's out there. We need to have conduct worthy of the gospel when we're interacting with others on Facebook, if we're on Facebook. And when we're on YouTube or wherever we are at interacting with others, in our emails. And you might even add to that your cell phone. You know, how many of us with our cell phones, we text? That's social media. You're communicating with people, and when you're communicating, what are you saying? Is your speech seasoned with salt? Is your conduct worthy of the gospel as you engage in conversations with others? So that's the first thing I want you to give consideration to when we think about social media. But now when it comes to social media, I want you to understand, and I want to begin by pointing this out, that social media has a lot of good associated with it. Social media is morally neutral. And what I mean by that is it's not bad within itself. What determines whether it's good or bad is what you do with it. That's what you mean when you say morally neutral. Another example of morally neutral is money. You know, money's not bad. You know, I hear people sometimes say the Bible says money is the root of all evil. And I say, no, it doesn't. It says the love of money is the root of all. And I think the root of all kinds of evil is the point there. And that's the point to be made. It's not the money. Money's morally neutral. It's what you do with it. You can use money for good or you can use it for bad. Social media, you can use it for good or you can use it for bad. It's morally neutral. And that's one thing to consider as you deal with that. And I'm going to tell you right now, it can accomplish a whole lot of good. A whole lot of good can come from the internet and from social media. You know, think about this pandemic. You know, social media and the internet, it's been a tremendous help. And I'll even use the word blessing in many ways. I want you to think about churches that had to figure some things out to communicate with their brethren when they were locked down. And I know that Arizona wasn't like California. but you had a period of time where it affected things, and California is just taking a little longer. I actually got the news today that they said as of Friday we get to remove our masks. Yay! So, indoors. So, you know, for whatever that, but the point is, we've had to adapt. And let me tell you what, in Bellflower, where I'm at, we had a Facebook page before social media, no, we didn't. We had a Facebook page before the pandemic, because I had learned that that's a way to reach people today. But I tell you what, since the pandemic, we now have a YouTube page. I pre-record my lessons and make them available on YouTube and on Facebook as a teaching medium. That's something that we wouldn't be doing if it weren't for COVID-19. So we've had to adapt. And the point that I'm making is good can come from social media. Churches have increased their online presence during this time. Social media is good in that it gives you opportunities to communicate with others around the world, including your friends and your acquaintances. You have opportunities to disseminate good information, to find good information, to share good things with each other, to learn from each other. We can use social media as an avenue to encourage others and to make a positive impact on those who are watching what we're doing online, those who we are interacting with. And friends, I'm going to tell you right now that online, it's a great way to learn, both biblically and I say auxiliary topics. And what I mean by auxiliary topics is, you know, there's a lot of topics outside of what the Bible talks about, but they help you to better appreciate the Bible. You know, maps of the world and learning about evidences and all those types of things. You've got access to all that because of the online. And in social media, you can communicate that with one another. So friends, we need to let our light shine, even when we are online. Now, having said that, I ask the question in all of this, and that is, are you being the example that you ought to be online? And as we've done in a lot of these lessons, these are about examining ourselves. And that's what we're going to have, and that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. I want us to examine ourselves as we think about our online activity. And I want you to understand, first and foremost, you are being an example. And don't you think for a moment that you're not being an example when you're online. You've got your circle of friends, and simply because you're online, more than likely you have your circle of your friends and their friends, and likely beyond that. Let me tell you right now, they're watching you. They're watching what you say. They're watching how you respond to what somebody else says. And they're watching what you post. And they're paying attention to it. And here's a lesson, and this is a reminder. You hear me clearly. You put something online, expect it to be permanent. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know, if you say something in anger online, and you, oh, I shouldn't have said that, and you go to pull that off, you know what? It may be too late. Somebody may have copied it before you got a chance to take it down. And they're going to remember what you said. And I'm going to tell you right now, we all know that we're living in a time where your past can come back to haunt you. We have people out there that it doesn't matter how long ago you said something, if they don't like you, they're going to use it against you. And you know what? You may not believe that anymore. You may have repented 1,000 times over, and you have maybe have made 1,000 declarations contrary to what you believed 20 years ago, but they're going to use it against you anyways. That's the time that we're living in. And friends, I think we need to think about that before we post anything online. Before you share that funny meme, make sure it's clean. And I'll tell you right now, before I share something, I'm not only going to make sure it's clean, and I don't have a problem with sharing it, but I'm probably going to go to the website where it came from, and I'm going to look at the meme before it and the meme after it. You know some people that they'll post something that's funny, and you go to the actual meme, and the one before and after are profanity and everything else. You realize that you've just shared the site of somebody that is anything but godly? You think about that? And what you share is permanent. That's the point I want you to know. It's not going away. And we need to think about that before we post anything, if we are to let our light shine as Christians. And something else I want you to understand is what you post reflects the real you. Now, I've got another point to make about that a little later. But I want you to understand this. What you post reflects the real you. In Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse number 23, Solomon there said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." You need to keep your heart. You need to diligently make sure that your heart is pure. And let me ask, I need to ask myself when I look at my online activity, Does my online community see that God is important to me? Does your online community even know that you're a Christian? Think about that. If you're letting your light shine, social media, it can be good. But are you willing to share your faith? Are you willing to let others know that you believe in God? And let me ask you, what do they see when you post it? What are you wearing? You know, you're supposed to be a Christian. Do they see modesty in what you're wearing? Who are you associating with? Where are you going? And, you know, you take those pictures and they're funny, and the background all of a sudden reveals where you're at. And maybe it's somewhere you shouldn't be. And you know what? Maybe it's a time, you know, somebody that for some reason they're not here when we assemble. And then they post where they were at online. And all of a sudden, not only do you know where they were at when they were supposed to be here, they've told the world what's more important to them than being here. Think about that. When you post what you post, what is the world seeing? They see your language, and they see everything about you. And that's something we need to seriously be concerned about when it comes to our engaging in online activity. And here's a bonus. You know, this is just a bonus. A lot of employers, when they're looking to hire people, it is said that one of the ways that employers in some companies investigate now, they'll look at your social media profile. And that may determine whether you get a job or not. And like I said, that's just a bonus. You know, that's just something to think about. But it tells you the impact that social media can have. And so we need to be aware of that. And one of the concerns that I have, another concern that I have with the media, social media, is what is it doing to your ego? You know, the Bible is very clear about how God feels about pride. Someone who is prideful and arrogant. Over in Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse number 18. Proverbs 16 and in verse number 18, Solomon there said, you just go ahead and read this. Get over here. He says here in this text, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride leads to your downfall. That's the point that Solomon is making. Peter in the New Testament says it this way. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, Peter there says to us, he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God expects us to be humble. And I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes to qualities that Christians are to possess, humility is one of the primary fundamental qualities in our lives as Christians. The world needs to see that in us. Now let's talk about online activity. There are many people, when it comes to online activity, what it's about is promoting themselves. What it's about is, how many likes can I get? And I will do anything and everything that I can to get likes. Matter of fact, there are many people that's how they pick their online friends. Who's going to like what I do the most? And then there's what you call clickbait. You know what clickbait is? You put some kind of a fancy topic or some kind of a attention-grabbing statement, hoping that they'll go to your site because that's of you. Because you want more and more people to view what you're doing, and to like what you're doing. And never mind that what the clickbait says has nothing to do with what's in the article. Deceit? Possible? Think about that. And also it has to do with one's ego. You know, you're stroking your ego. When people base their own online activity about how many people like it, and you know, every few minutes they're going to check to see how many more people have liked what I said, you need to check your ego. And let me tell you something else that bothers me about this. I don't know how to describe this. I've got it written up here as guilt messages. You know, let me tell you what a guilt message is. You know, they share some wonderful story or some meme and stuff, and share this with everybody. And if you don't share anybody, you hate God, you hate animals, you hate babies, or whatever you want to say. You know, and you want to know the quickest way to get me to delete something? Threaten me if I don't, or question my character or my morality based upon whether I share this with everybody that I know. That's an ego tactic. It's selfish to do that. Might I say it's ungodly? You know, think about that, friends, when we're online. Don't make it about your ego. If you're going to be online, share with others what's godly and with the hopes that they'll learn about God instead. That God will be glorified in your activity. Does your online persona reflect the real you? You know, I said a moment ago, yeah, you know, the thing about the online, whatever you post online, it shows who you really are, but there is an exception to that. There are those who deliberately are trying to hide who they really are. And the persona that they present online is not who they really are. And that's just dishonesty. That's just dishonesty. There's a verse that I have on that I don't have on the chart that I want you to think about in Revelation 21 and in verse number 8. Revelation 21 and in verse number 8. And John, the writer of Revelation, he said in that verse, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immorals, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Who's going to be lost? I want you to notice the last thing he says there. He says all liars. And you know, it's the only one that he puts a qualifier on. All liars. If you're being deceitful with what you post, is that a lie? If you're telling a half-truth, is that a lie? Don't you think we need to think about that? We need to make sure that what we post online is upfront and that it is honest. Don't be posting to boost your ego or to belittle others. That's another bully tactic that takes place online. I'm better than you. And a lot of people, what they're posting is they're showing how good they are. At least that's what they think. You know, how good I am and how much better I am than you. And you know, one of the things that I've learned as you talk about social media and so on, there are a lot of people out there that are dealing with psychological issues, self-esteem issues, because they're comparing themselves to their friends online, and it just seems that everybody's better than they are. When there's a lot of false personas that are out there, you know, people are propping up their best of who they are online. You need to think about that again. Something else to give consideration to. Over in Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. We find here in this text that Jesus tells us, he describes here, he says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I wonder how loud he was when he said that. He's proud of, you know, he's probably breaking his arm, patting himself on the back. Of course, the other one is described there also, where it says that the other, the tax collector, it says he bowed his head and beat his breast and he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And in modern language, the question that Jesus asked is, whose prayer got higher than the ceiling? When we're egotistical and when we think more about ourselves than we do others, we need to be aware of that. Don't let social media be about boosting your ego. I need to consider, am I being humble as I share with others rather than prideful? And that goes back to what we talked about a few moments ago over in James chapter 4 and in verse number 6. James there in that text, he makes the point that you humble yourselves and let God exalt you. And then let's turn over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, and this is not on your outline. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse number 18, and it's interesting that what Paul says in this text is he talks about false humility. He says there in that text, in verse number 18, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by a fleshly mind. And he mentions it again there in verse number 23. These things indeed have the appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, the neglect of the body, and so on. False humility. How many people engage in that? We need to be genuine when it comes to our humility. And that's what I think about. When I think about what I'm sharing, you know, why do I want people to see it? What's my real reason? And I'm talking about deep down. What's the real reason behind it? Are you seeking to have your ego stroked? And as I've been talking about, am I as honest as I ought to be? Am I as honest as I should be in everything that I am doing? In Ephesians 4 and verse 25, we are told there that each one is to speak truth with his neighbors. And putting it in this context that we're talking about, each one is to type with his truth to his neighbors. That's the point we're dealing with. In the book of Proverbs there, you have in Proverbs 12 and in verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are His delight. Romans 12 and verse 3 talks about, I beseech you that you not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. We need to put ourselves into a right place. And friends, you hear me clearly on this. If you need social media to prop you up, you have a problem deeper than who you are outside. Spiritually. And you need to take care of that. Well, other things that I would think about when I talk about social media, is it a wise use of my time? Over in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse number 16, something that's also mentioned in the book of Colossians, but you'll find in Ephesians 5 and in verse 16, Paul there says, see that you walk circumspectly in verse 15, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We are to redeem the time, which means we are to make wise use of our time. Sometimes people spend an inordinate amount of time online and with social media. You know the reason we gave that statistic at the beginning, over 2 hours a day on average. That's a lot of daytime. That's a lot of daytime to be spending online, engaged in online activity with others. Could you be using that time in a better way? Something for us to think about. And here's the thing. And again, you know in all this, I'm not saying it's wrong to be online, right? You understand that. But the question is, how does your internet time compare to your personal time reading the Word of God? Praying to God. Preferring your brethren and being with your brethren. Sharing the Word of God with others. Maybe you're using social media to share the Word of God. I know my dad, my dad shares articles all the time. He's constantly writing articles, biblical articles, sharing the Word of God online. I think that's a good use. But the point is, how much time are you using? Or should I say, how much time are you wasting? In many instances. How many are addicted to online activity? Is it ruling over you? It's interesting. It has been said in studies by people that know a whole lot more than me that behavioral addictions are harder to break than substances. I've heard it said that it is more difficult to break addiction to pornography than it is to cocaine. Now, we focus on addictions to substances. But what about gambling? What about video games? Or maybe it's gossip. Or some other activity that is a behavioral addiction that somebody has, including online activity. Try to go without it for a week. And see what you can do. Where would we be if we lost our internet connection or our cell phone? We lost power for a week and not able to use it. I think there are some people that would have an absolute meltdown. And that's the reality. Because of the society that we live in. And it's a part of our lives. Okay, it's a part of your life. But don't let it be all of your life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse number 12. And in this text, Paul here says, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That includes your online activity, folks. We can't let anything control us in our lives as Christians. We need to give consideration to. Is it robbing me of my personal interaction with others? I think you need to think about that as well. Tied to the previous point that I just made here, how many devote so much time to electronic mediums? And you could put a lot of things in this. You could talk about social media, searching the internet, YouTube, video games, television. You could add a lot of things to that list there. But how many people spend so much time there that they're locked in their homes and they become recluses, and that's the only people they interact with is those areas, and they don't get out and publicly or literally interact with other people? Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, online interaction will never, never, ever be as effective as face-to-face conversation. And one of the things that this pandemic has done to us, how many people has it locked? I know I keep bringing it up. It's what's going on right now. People have been locked up. Many people were locked up for a year, afraid to leave their homes. Many people were afraid to come back to church. How sad that is. We need each other, and we need direct activity or a direct interaction with one another. So we need to give consideration to that when we think about online activity. And understand this, that while while social media is communication, there's nothing as effective as face-to-face conversation. And let me tell you about this. Something is lost when you remove that personal, person-to-person dynamic. And again, that's what we've seen in our society so far. We're to be reaching each other. We're told that in what is described as the Great Commission, Mark 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew said, go therefore and make disciples. Or the King James, go therefore and teach all nations. And he wasn't waiting for the apostles to get behind their computers. They weren't there, you know, and something like that. He wanted them to go out and interact with people face to face. And you know, there's something interesting about the Bible. Every example of conversion, without exception, involved the communication of people. And I want you to think about that. You know, you've got the example of Paul. He was struck blind on the road to Damascus and the Lord spoke to him. But what did the Lord tell him? Go into the city and wait. Ananias came to him and told him what he needed to do. The Ethiopian eunuch, here he is out in the wilderness. The Spirit comes to Philip and says, go to him and teach him. Cornelius, an angel appears to him and says, God's heard your prayers. You're saved. No, he didn't say that. Acts 10, read it. He said, God has heard your prayers. You send for Peter, who will tell you what you need to do. Peter came and Peter told him what to do. Friends, let me tell you right now, internet can be wonderful in sharing the Word of God with others. Like I said, you can put godly memes on there to encourage people. You can write articles. You can invite people to gospel meetings. You can share sermons. You can do whatever that's good and healthy and productive. But it won't close the sale. What it's going to take to close the sale is a face-to-face conversation, interaction with one another. And so we need to remember that as we think about the internet. I need to ask, how is this helping me to let my light shine when I'm using social media? That's the question I need to be thinking about. And as I've noted here, you know, social media, it can reveal your true heart, good or bad. Now, is what I am saying that is what I'm saying damaging my influence as a Christian? You know, it's easy to say things online without consequences, or so you think, because you're not face to face with a person. But I will promise you, people remember. And what you say, even online, may cause somebody to not obey the gospel, to not have anything to do with you. Again, this pandemic, it has brought out the best in some and it has brought out the worst in others. And on my Facebook feed, the majority of my friends are Christians. And I know I've said this earlier, but I won't say it again now because of the lesson. I'm ashamed of some of them. I'm ashamed of the way that they dealt with this pandemic with others. The things that they said, the way that they judged others when they weren't in their shoes. Friends, it hurt a lot of places. This pandemic divided brethren, broke friendships, and it shouldn't have happened because it wasn't about the pandemic, it was about the bad behavior of brethren toward one another. Online, by the way. And do I really want to add politics to that? Just think about it. Just think about it. Something to give consideration to. We've been biting and devouring one another, and it's not right. Now, you know, I expect ugly behavior from the world. But when my brethren share these types of things, we got a problem. And don't you think that what you post will not have an impact on Christ and His church? We need to be very, very much aware of that. Now, you can use social media for good, as I pointed out. You've got the opportunity to evangelize, promote goodwill and good works. It's a great way to reach others, targeted. And that's the interesting thing about Facebook as an example of that. You know, how much it costs to put an ad for a gospel meeting in, say, the newspaper? You know, to get a 2x3 article that will line a lot of bird cages and probably not be seen by hardly anybody? How many hundreds or thousands of dollars will that cost? You know that with Facebook, if you do a little bit of investigating, you can target your area around you, and for way less than that, reach a whole lot more people. Just something to think about. That's a good thing. A good thing that can come from social media. It can be used to help us fulfill the great opinion, or the great commission. I just got ahead of myself. Because I'm going to say something now. This is my personal opinion. This is my personal opinion, so take it or leave it. I believe that if you're a congregation and you're interested in reaching others, you got to have a website. Now, I know that's not popular with some people. They don't want anything on the internet. But friends, I want to tell you right now, if you want people to find you, that's how they find you now. That's how they look for you. Now, I'm not saying it has to be a fancy, elaborate website that has all kinds of material on it, but at least a place that says, this is where we're at, this is when we meet, and this is how we get here. Simple. And by the way, you can get those for free. You can get something like that for free. You need a web presence. And by the way, you all have one. So it's a good thing. I mean, that's how people are going to find you today. And if people are traveling, that's how they're going to find you. Maybe somebody moves into the area and they're looking for a church or the church. Wait, where do you think they're going to go first? They're going to look online. Is your webpage there? Just something to think about. Like I said, I know that's my personal thought on that. But based on the times that we are living, it is what it is. Use it to let your light shine and so on. And use it to encourage others. Use it to calm fears. And to encourage others to trust in God. Use it to be different. See Monday night. And finally, use it as a tool, which is what I've been talking about in this entire lesson. And friends, so there's a few thoughts that I have dealing with the subject of the internet and social media. I know that more could be said. But I hope that you'll think about these things. And again, understand, I'm not telling you not to use social media. I'm just telling you to use it right, if you choose to use it. I'm not telling you have to either, you know. But if you choose to be online, know that people are watching you. And by the way, so is God. So don't forget that. And with that, I commend the lesson to you at this time. Open your songbooks now to number 111. In just a moment, we're going to sing this song, Clay in the Potter's Hand. Maybe there's somebody in need of responding to the gospel invitation. Maybe there's somebody that has not yet become a child of God, and that is what your desire is. If you believe in Jesus, will you repent of your sins, confess Him, be immersed for the remission of your sins? The brethren here are ready to help you with that. Or if you're a child of God and if you've not lived true to God's word, take care of your sins. Make yourself right with God before it's too late. And if that needs to be taken care of in a public way because of what you've done, take care of it in a public way. These brethren would be more than happy to pray with you and pray for you and work with you in overcoming whatever your struggles are. If you have a need, come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.